Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. Happy August. We're here. August has arrived. This show is pre-recorded. It is playing on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com and click chat, and then click the chat, the YouTube chat link posted under my banner. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment in either chat room, and I will answer them after the show. I will be available after the show. I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning, Pacific time, into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified via text immediately, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen.com, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. We also celebrate astrological events, such as the full moon this coming Saturday. We'll celebrate with reduced rates on calls and chats all day. We also celebrate holidays and the 12th of each month, which we call 1-2 Day. And that's fun because it's random reduced rates all day long for each advisor. So it's a great day. If you would like to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 Promotions. And that just means that you leave your email address. I also have my Welcome Summer 15-minute time-based session available that will be available until fall, until around somewhere around September 21st, 22nd. And in this session, we'll move energetic blocks that keep you from shining your light, from experiencing your good. Limiting beliefs, doubt, fear, unworthiness, etc. aren't yours. They're erroneous energy in your space, and they can all be released, so that you can experience your greatest expression. It's a great healing, and I invite you to try it. I invite you to try it. And I also, as always, want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. Post what you're grateful for. The advisors at 12listen will add our intention to yours. We monitor that board. You can post anonymously, so why not? You know, whatever, post what you're grateful for, whether it is in your experience right now or something that you are working to bring in. Agreement is rocket fuel. It truly is. So post it in there. Let us help you. It's a great way for us to support you. And I just want to thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do, to 12radio.com. There is programming 24/7 here, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support, coming through many voices, many passions. So I invite you to listen to someone maybe that you don't listen to all the time, and you might just find a new favorite. So again, I invite you to take advantage. It is our way of supporting you. So please take advantage. Take advantage. And right now, I just want to thank Serena for producing the show and for all that she does for us on 12radio.com, which is a lot. And right now, let's move into the teaching segment. I've kind of blown through all my announcements, my usual announcements, because I have a lot to talk about, and I'm excited about it. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Trip Hop Cafe by David and Steve Gordon from the Nirvana Groove CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. It'll be a great segue into what I want to talk about. I will be back right after. You are listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. Last week's show was about repeating patterns. I knew it would be a big topic because it extends into every area of life. I want to cover it well, so we'll continue with it today and actually going forward until it feels complete or until I feel complete with it. So you can find last week's show in the on-demand section of 12radio.com and on my YouTube channel. Last week's show laid the foundation for changing repeating patterns. So I'm going to recap some of the important points and then we'll move on. So first of all, let me explain by what I mean, explain what I mean by repeating patterns. We all experience them. It's the things that kind of keep coming around and tripping us up. Even when we think we've moved past them, they come around. And the examples that I gave last week are like the great new job. You know, the last job was bad, so I found a new job. I'm so excited about it. And the new job ends up being just like the last one and the one before that. Or the new person that you're dating ends up being the same person that you've dated over and over and over, just in a different body. So there are many, many examples. Those are just a couple. Those are a couple of the big ones. But there are many examples of repeating patterns. But the reason we continue to experience them is because we have something to change within ourselves in order to move past them, in order to be not available to them, so to speak. We attract to ourselves what we are. What you vibrate at, you attract. You call to yourself your own according to your self-concept and beliefs. If you want to change your experience, there is no one to change but yourself. It takes courage and neutrality because it means looking at what you believe about yourself, not about other people, not about situations, about yourself in regard to the experience that you want to change, that you're repeating. Because no matter what, at the bottom of every experience is a belief, and beliefs are not truth. So, step one is taking total responsibility for what is sitting in your lap, whatever it is, for everything in your life. Take total and complete responsibility. That means not blaming anyone or anything, not even yourself. It means just having what is, not struggling against what is, just quote unquote having it, and realizing that if it's in your experience, you attracted it, knowingly or not, because you can only live what you believe, what you have the consciousness for. Consciousness is the cause of everything, and what we experience is the effect of our consciousness. It's the outpicturing of our consciousness, hardened into fact, as Neville would say. Reverend Ike said, you can never be greater than your own self-concept because your self-concept defines what you can have. Neville defines self-concept as all that you accept and consent to as yourself, as your concept of yourself. So the starting point for changing your self-concept is understanding where it came from. The effect that any person or thing has on you is completely dictated by your perception, and your perception is influenced by your judgments and opinions of what is good or bad, right or wrong. Joel Goldsmith said that the mind is an interpreter, an avenue of awareness, a translator, so to speak, of spiritual creation. God is the substance of everything there is. Give up all concern for form and attain the conscious awareness of God as the substance of the reality of our being. God is, I am, covers it all. There is no material creation, just a material sense of spiritual creation and of God. The entire universe is embedded in your consciousness. The universe as form is an activity of consciousness, the interpretation of the mind. And the mind interprets based on four influences: prenatal influence, early environment, education, and personal experience. These influences make up who we are as humans. They are our filters, and they compel us to see things as we do. The physical consists of spiritual emanations of God, but the mind interprets the physical through those influences, so we never truly see what is before us. All that is in heaven is on earth, but it's perceived through our influences and the instrument of the mind, and forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. So that's our foundation. That's our foundation. And I wanted to repeat all of that in case you haven't heard last week's show. But once you know that everyone and everything you experience has been filtered through your influences, also known as your associative mind or your ego, you can change things. Influences, filters, associative mind, and ego are all based on past experience. And no matter how many times you've had experiences like the one you're having now, they aren't the one you're having now. And they have nothing to do with the one you're having now if you don't let them. You are supreme in your orbit, the center of your universe. You call the shots. You can consciously use neutrality as a power tool, meaning you can imagine yourself filled in with neutrality as a vibration. Neutrality makes you the observer and allows you to be in the present moment and see what's happening in it for what it is, to really see it like you're reading a newspaper, you know, or you're watching a movie. You see it because you are out of emotion. Neutrality is power because if you are neutral, you own your space and you are out of emotion, which enables you to see things for what they are instead of your perception of them. That is power. Neutral, graceful power. But true power. True power. The two examples I gave of repeating patterns were jobs and relationships. And I really think that relationships are the bigger player of the two. So let's start there. Now, I get to talk about relationships from my personal experience. Because quite honestly, I could be the poster child for repeating patterns in relationships. And it took me a while, but when I was ready, the teacher appeared and the information I needed to change myself showed up. Better late than never, I say, but it did show up, and I will never go back to that pattern again. Ever. Ever. And again, this has to do with self-concept. You know, what I accept and consent to as my self-concept. Every relationship I had turned out the same. I'm an empath, a huge empath. But even before I knew that, I was always trying to take care of the person that I was with. I was constantly trying to control the relationship. Actually, I wasn't trying to control the relationship. I was trying to help. I was just trying to help. You know, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What can I do? How can I jump in and save you from yourself? You know, I was trying to help because I wanted to be what I thought they needed me to be. And in fact, I was out of bounds, completely out of bounds. In every successful relationship, one partner is primarily masculine or runs primarily masculine energy, and the other primarily feminine or runs feminine energy. And that is not gender specific, not at all. We all run both masculine and feminine energy in order to live our lives, in order to function. Very, very simply put, masculine energy is outgoing. It is the doer, the caretaker, the thinker. Feminine energy is receptive, creative, the feeler. Now, we all have to use all of those things in order to do what we have to do in life, in order to work, in order to create, in order to just live and be rounded beings. We do because we have to run both masculine and feminine energy. And in my relationships, I always ended up taking care of pretty much everything, which was masculine energy. I wanted to be the girl in the relationship, but in overcaring and overdoing, thinking I was supporting, what I was in fact doing was competing with my partner's masculinity. And the thing that happens in that situation, that repeated over and over and over, is either that person leaves or they become another one of your children, you know, as in someone for you to take care of. And the partnership just disintegrates. It disintegrates. When you overcare and overdo, people take you for granted. And ultimately, that ends up just breeding resentment. Because when you need help from them, you know, they look at you like you have three heads, you know, and say, what do you mean? You take care of everything. What help am I supposed to give you? It's really, really, I'm going to use this word because, again, I experienced it over and over until I learned different. It's a destructive pattern. It really, truly is. And it's a disrespectful pattern for the people that you're trying to save, right? Because nobody got cheated on the God factor. Nobody. And we are all here to fall down, skin our knees, and realize that we have within us everything we need to get back up again and to succeed. And when you're jumping in and trying to save someone from themselves or keep them from experiencing a negative situation or negative emotions, you have no right to do that. You're infringing on their evolution. And everyone is in their own evolution. No two are alike. And everyone is perfect. No matter what you think, you do not know better than anyone else's higher self what they need or where they're supposed to be. So I accept total responsibility for that repeating pattern. I do, even though, you know, there was always someone else involved in it, and there's always an agreement, you know, between anything, between people, whether it's somebody holding the door for you for 3 seconds to get in or out of a building, to a relationship, a friendship, you know, family. That's all agreements, spirit-to-spirit agreements. And every spirit-to-spirit agreement is for growth. Not for life necessarily, but for growth. So we come together to grow. And the only way we grow truly is from overcoming adversity. So trying to save someone from that is truly an infringement on their evolution. And it is disrespectful. So I know in all of those relationships that I was out of bounds. You know, I was infringing on their energetic expression. And if they were masculine in the beginning, they kind of weren't at the end, at least not in our relationship. So, because I was, because I took over. I'm owning this. I am transparent. And all you empaths out there know that you feel other people's emotions. That's what an empath does. We take other people's energy on in our second chakra, our emotional center. So when someone is feeling bad or sad or mad or whatever, it's uncomfortable for us. So we want to jump in and help them so they can feel better, but also so that we can feel better, right? We want to get past that as well. So we interfere. At the Institute, at ICI, we called ourselves out of control healers. You know, we just want to jump in and take care of that. But the thing is that unless we are asked for help, we do not have permission to help. Every one of us, again, I have to repeat it, is the individualization of source. And we are here to find that out. That is why we're in an incarnation, to find out who we truly are. Each of us is in that individual evolution, and we have no right, no matter how close that person is to us, to infringe on their evolution. As I said, though, when I was ready, the teachers did appear at ICI, at Interconnection Institute, Clairvoyant Institute I went to, and in a book called Getting to I Do by Dr. Patricia Allen. That book is fantastic. At the Institute, we had classes on masculine and feminine energy, on all kinds of energy, all sorts of different energy as I went through the program, but focused on masculine and feminine energy more than once. But that book is something else. Getting to I Do by Dr. Patricia Allen. Kind of a hokey title, but it is all about masculine and feminine energy and what you do and don't do depending upon the relationship you want, depending upon the energy that you want to demonstrate. It was written in the 70s, so again, I have to use the word hokey. It sounds a little hokey sometimes, but truly, it set me straight. So if you read it, it's powerful stuff, and just let the hokiness go. Don't get sidetracked by the hokiness. She's brilliant, and it's fantastic information. So if you're a woman and you want to be a girl in the relationship, you let the masculine be masculine by letting them take the lead, make plans, you know, pick you up, etc. You know, she said the greatest thing the feminine can do for the masculine is appreciate them and give back in ways that do not compete. For example, if they take you to dinner, you don't reciprocate by taking them to dinner, but maybe you make dinner for them. Or you invite them out for drinks and you pay for drinks or coffee or breakfast or whatever. And again, that may sound a little hokey, but if you're used to taking care of people, you're probably not very good at receiving, right? Think about that. That's a big deal. And that comes into play here in a big way. What do you believe that makes it hard for you to receive? You know, there are so many of us in both, you know, both masculine and feminine energies, male and female, that for some reason somebody does something nice for you and you've got to turn around and give that right back. And it's not, how can I say this? It's not just, that was so nice, let me do something for you. It's, I got to pay you back. I've got to pay you back. So this is where, if this is something that you can relate to, that resonates with you as I'm saying it, this is something to look at, you know, as far as your self-concept goes. What do you believe that makes it hard for you to receive? So, yeah, that was a big deal. That's a big deal. So after I read the book, I dated someone for a very brief period of time, and it was obvious that it would never work, and I ended it. And that was a huge victory for me. You know, I didn't jump in there. I didn't try to change things. I didn't say, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe if I do something different. No, it was blatantly obvious that I did not want anything to do with that relationship and I needed to get out, and I did. And that was just a massive victory for me. So the information from the book sunk in, and also just growing and evolving and realizing that, you know, at that time in my life, I was a student and a teacher at the Institute, and I had my own painting business. I was not, you know, I was not your cookie cutter girl. I was not, I just wasn't. I wasn't. And so I worked all the time. I worked 13-hour days between the two, between teaching at the Institute or taking classes and painting. And it was like when I went on eHarmony, and this is what I do. This is who I am. And I didn't have time. I didn't have time to dabble. You know, that wasn't what I was interested in. I really wanted someone in my life. I really wanted someone in my life. And so here I am. If you're going to run screaming now, because I don't have time. Have time to mess around. I just don't. And it was interesting because I remember back then, actually, around that same time, I remember listening to a couple of people on the radio, a couple of women who were talking about, and they were psychics, and talking about being on dating sites. And I remember one of them saying, well, I would never put on the site that I'm a psychic. I would never put on there what I do. And I thought, that is the strangest thing I have ever heard. Because how can you establish, if you want a relationship, that's, you've kind of already kind of cut out the foundation for a relationship, because relationships are based on knowing each other, right? It was just, that was the strangest thing, and I'll never forget that. So I put everything in there. This is what I do. I, you know, blah, blah, blah. I teach and take classes at a psychic institute, and I paint houses for a living, and this is what I do. And then I met Chan and Diane, my husband, a truly beautiful masculine man. We met on eHarmony. We went through the 2-week communication period, and then we met in person for drinks. It was on a Monday night. It was after we had our meeting, our teachers' meeting at ICI. And we ended up talking for about 3-4 hours. And then he asked me to go to an event with him the following Friday. And that was it. That was it. We were together for the next 16 years and for the rest of his life. So, you know, after that, after the initial meeting, I said, well, you know, he asked me to go, and I said, yeah, do you want me to meet you there? And he goes, no, I'll pick you up. And so he picked me up, paid for dinner. There was no question that he was taking me out. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I really did. I was finally the girl. I was finally the girl. And that was just such a lovely, it was a dance, you know, it was a dance. And certainly, being the feminine, you give back, but you don't give back equally to what the masculine does. And, you know, as relationships go on, each partner has things that they do well that the other may not, that, you know, crosses into masculine and feminine energy. I'm good at organization. I'm good at, you know, at taking care of finances. I'm good at that. Channon was a great cook. He was a really good photographer. So each runs the energy, whether masculine or feminine, that supports the relationship. But right off the bat, just establishing who's who in those two energies, masculine or feminine, really can make or break a relationship, you know, before it even has the opportunity to get started. So, as I said, each runs the energy, whether masculine or feminine, going forward, that supports the relationship. And it becomes a partnership for mutual benefit. And it really is a dance. you know, this is what you do. Great, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't like to cook. You know, I can cook. I don't like to cook. It's not my deal. But I'll take care of things. I'll make sure the house is in great shape. I'll make, you know, it's just we worked well together, and that's what a relationship is. Now, moving past that, I believe that the cardinal rule for successful relationship is that each partner can, quote unquote, have the other for exactly who they are. It's the no fixing rule. I talk to people all the time that are trying to fix the other person and then everything will be okay. If he or she just stops or starts doing this or that, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. That's a recipe for disaster. It just is. Each person is exactly who they are. Take it or leave it, but don't go on a campaign to change them. It will fail, and you will have spent a whole lot of time in a futile endeavor. Having a person for who they are doesn't mean you have to love everything they do. It doesn't, because that's impossible. That's impossible. You're not the same person. It just means you can respect and appreciate their individuality and grow together and figure out the things that you just simply agree to disagree about. You know? I mean, that's all. That's all. And again, it really, in being able to do that, is a demonstration of growth. And is a demonstration of each person being comfortable in their own skin, you know, within themselves. It means that you know and are comfortable with who you are, with your self-concept. So, I don't really like that. You know what? I'm not going to fight about it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just going to, you know, whatever it is. It also means you don't take everything personally. You know, that's when we get messed up, is when we take another person's behavior personally. It's never personal. It's just them doing them, you know? So it's awareness. It's awareness. And again, your strength and certainty in your own self-concept. Now, there are other reasons that we overcare and overdo in relationships. And insecurity is one of them. You know, we want to make sure that person isn't going to leave because there may not be someone else for us. And that's just a very, very slippery slope because in that type of relationship, we have a tendency to lack boundaries. If we had boundaries, we just kind of abdicate our boundaries and at times accept being treated badly. Because suffering is better than being alone. You can't give yourself up for someone. You have to maintain you, and that's part of working on your self-concept, honoring you, loving yourself, respecting yourself, and supporting yourself. You know, I can hear Stuart Wilde in tapes that I used to listen to saying, you know, if I wash your clothes, will you love me? If I clean the house and have dinner on the table when you get home, will you love me? If I buy you a car and jewelry, will you love me? You know, doing all those things to keep someone by buying their love, so to speak, by earning their love. As Reverend Ike said, you can never be greater than your own self-concept because your self-concept defines what you can have. You know, another thing that just moving past that, and again, that's I just have to go back and say, this is when you decide who you are, you know, what you are, and that no matter what happens, if again, if you're just taking care of somebody because you don't want them to leave, you're not taking care of yourself. And as I said, all you have to give the world is you. So honor yourself. Think about that, please. So another thing that contributes to repeating patterns in relationships is not letting go of the emotional baggage from past relationships. If you're carrying around a whole lot of baggage, a whole lot of what you don't want to experience again, what you're afraid to experience again, it's taking up space in your consciousness, keeping you on guard so that you don't make the same mistake again. But that being in that space of being on guard, you know, filters, again, here's our filters based on past experience. If anyone makes a false move, uh-oh, you know, you're the same, it's going to be the same misery again. What happens is you're disallowing a new experience. You're disallowing a new experience. As I said back at the beginning of this, you know, our filters, our ego, our influences are all based on past experience. And what you are experiencing now is new and different. And so pushing them away, pushing them aside, is the only way you can see what this experience is the only way that you can have it, that you can feel it, that you can truly meet someone new. And by putting the past away, you can also be present for that experience. You know, not just meeting someone and like finding out who they really are, not comparing to who you've known in the past or what you've done in the past or the relationships you've had in the past, and you being who you are right now. Right now. Because those past experiences, you, is not the same person you are right now. And when you hold on to that emotional baggage, you're dragging yourself down. You're thinking that you're the same person that you were then, but you aren't. You aren't. Again, you're not the same person that got up this morning because you've had experiences that have contributed to your evolution from that time until now. So, what is it? Just came into my head. The only way you get past your story is to stop telling it. The only way you get past that emotional baggage from previous relationships is by neutralizing it and becoming neutral to it. Yes, it happened. Yes, it happened. But it is dead, gone, and over. And you and the person involved in it at that time are dead, gone, and over. This is the ever-present now. And it is full of opportunity and blessings if we can just be in it. And if you choose to let go of that baggage, that old emotional baggage, then you're free. You know, you are totally, totally free. So, in this case, ask yourself, what do I believe about relationships? You know, if you're having a hard time getting past the hurt, getting past the, you know, victim or martyr, because when we're carrying around that emotional baggage, when we can't let go of stuff, we've kind of assigned ourselves a role in that. You know, they're the bad guy, we were the good guy, you know, the martyr, the victim, they did that to me, blame, 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 and even blaming ourselves. Even blaming ourselves. It's futile. It's absolutely futile. And now is the, as I said, now is the only thing that exists. It's the only place that exists. So it's just incredibly important to work at letting go of that baggage. You know, sacrificing it. Sacrificing it. Just saying, I don't know how to let go of this. I don't know how to be free of this pain. But that which lives me, the infinite God mind, does. Therefore, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for moving past this to it, to that infinite God mind. You know, there's no condemnation in God. There's no judging. There's no nothing. There's just life and love and forward motion. You know, you are the instrument of God's appearing in this physical plane. And that energy is life, capital L-I-F-E. And all life does is wants to become more of life, more of itself, in, through, and as you. Therefore, if you can decide to let go of past experiences, and again, sacrifice them, surrender them, let them go. When a memory comes in, get it out of your head as fast as you can by surrendering it, sacrificing it. I just, you know, every thought, every emotion, everything that comes up, because they're not you. They're not you. And it is your choice to carry them around and to compare everyone you meet to your past experience. That's a choice. That's a choice. And that it may seem like you're taking care of yourself in doing that, but in fact, you're really limiting yourself. Because again, right here and right now, you are the individualization of Source, eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. That's you, right here and right now. You are not your mind, you're not your body, you're not your emotions. They belong to you. You are supreme in your own orbit, and your world is you pushed outward. So if you want a different experience, you change you and your expectations, because that's what comes up, are all these expectations of what negative thing could happen. Well, you know, if that's what you're focused on, that's what you're going to bring back around. You just are, because that's what you believe. If you think you have to protect yourself from that, then you've really empowered the thing that you want to be protected from, right? You've given it its power. And so again, this is your show. You are, you know, your consciousness, your world is showing you who you are, and you can change anything. And emotional pain, Michael Tamura said, we only have memories because they have an emotional charge, either positive or negative. That's why they keep coming back around. If you have an experience of truth, which is just something that comes in and it's like a kind of like a breeze that flows through your head and you go, wow, that was cool. And 10 seconds later, you can't remember what it was, but you have that lovely feeling. That's truth. There's no emotional charge to it. It just is. And my personal feeling is when something like that comes through, it's not like, oh, I should have grabbed that and held on to it. You got it. You got it. Or it wouldn't have come through your consciousness. But memories with their positive and negative charges, you really can work with that to release them. And again, my whole thing is, I don't know how to live this life. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be available for a new relationship. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And you don't, humanly. You don't. We don't. But that which lives you, which simply wants to become more and more of itself through and as you, the kingdom of heaven that is within you, that can be demonstrated in this physical plane, does. Does. So relinquish responsibility, all power, control, and responsibility for this next step, for whatever you want to do. If you want a new relationship or not, I mean, I'm talking about relationships, maybe you don't, but for whatever it is that you want to experience, give away that responsibility to the governing, maintaining, sustaining, and discerning principle of your life, which is Source, which lives you. The self of you lives you. And trust it. Trust it. Let go of that burden. Man, it feels so good when that drops off your back. It feels so good. But two, you know, to ask yourself what you believe about relationships. You know, that's a very basic question. that if you answer honestly, will show you a lot. Will show you a lot. It will show you what you can look at and realize is not true, right? What you believe about relationships is based on your experience, not the truth about relationships. And again, when a painful memory shows up, surrender or sacrifice it to the infinite and just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. The final thing I want to talk about in regard to relationship and repeating patterns is forgiveness. Forgiving everyone involved, including yourself. That's huge. Catherine Ponder has the best forgiveness affirmation, or yeah, I guess it's an affirmation. It is all that's offended me, I forgive. Within and without, I forgive. Things past, things present, things future, I forgive. I forgive positively everything and everyone who could possibly need forgiveness of the past or present. I forgive positively everyone. They are free now, I am free, and all things are cleared up between us, now and forever. Now and forever. And the next time they come into your head, and the next time you get that twinge in your gut, all that's offended me, I forgive. Within and without, I forgive. Which is you forgiving you and forgiving them and every situation. That's a powerful, powerful affirmation. And it's something that when you get used to it, if it resonates with you, it just kind of sits back in the back of your consciousness and just can run in the back of your consciousness, sort of like a mantra. And it's very, very powerful. But that's it. Don't spend time. If it comes into your, if those memories come into your head, don't engage. Don't engage. Because they're burdens. You know, unforgiveness is a burden. It truly is. Stuart Wilde said, if you can't forgive someone, it's like having them well and securely strapped to your leg and you're dragging them along with you. That's the truth of it. It's a burden. And, you know, when those thoughts come into your head, it's like, whoa, I just don't want to carry that any longer. I just don't. Or I should say, when those thoughts come into my head, that's the first place I go now. I don't want to. I just cast that burden. And that's another exercise. You know, I cast the burden of whatever it is on the Christ self within and I go free. Or on the infinite self within. I cast the burden of unforgiveness. I cast the burden of pain. I cast the burden of resentment or bitterness or anger or whatever it is on the infinite self within and I go free. And that's the truth of it. When you cast that burden, when you sacrifice something to the infinite, it cannot exist in the infinite. Therefore, it is truly gone. And you go free to have a new experience, a different experience, to be in the present moment. So, you know, we only have so much space in our space. We do. And that can be filled with what we not. That can be filled with what we want if we let go of what we don't want. That's it. And that's not, you know, okay, that doesn't feel good. I let it go. I don't have to entertain it. I don't have to justify it. I don't have to figure out what's wrong with me for having it come back up again. There's nothing wrong with you. Nothing. Remember, we don't blame. Let go of all blame. You take total responsibility. This is what it is. And I release all resistance to whatever it is. Don't resist what it is. Don't push against it. Detach. Sacrifice it. Because in detachment, it diminishes. We let it go. But if we resist it, if we have to go back through and figure out why we think that, why we did that, what the heck, you know, then we're just bringing it back to life. We're empowering it. We're empowering a thing that doesn't even exist anymore. So, really and truly, letting it go, non-resistance, is the most powerful thing and the most loving thing that you can do for yourself, and also the most healing thing. You know, Joel said, "Only that which I release can be released in me. Anything that I hold is held against me. Whatever you release, you are released from. What you cling to is that which is binding you. You are your own liberator." I know I shared that with you last week, but that is so powerful because it really truly is the truth. You know, it's our choice in every moment to carry a burden or to let that burden go. And it takes repetition. You know what I mean? It's usually not a one and done, especially, you know, the bigness of it or your feelings about it. You just keep doing it. And pretty soon, the more you do it, the less and less and less it shows up. And the more and more and more you are empowered. And the more senior you are in your own space. It brings back, when you look at these things, when you let go, when you look at what you believe about things, and knowing that, again, that beliefs are not truth. They are simply beliefs. And you look at repeating patterns. You change you. You bring back, you choose to focus on your seniority, certainty, clarity, validation. You validate all the good that you are. And you go back to the three things of demonstrating God: giving, loving, and then resting in those arms. You know, resting in that infinite self that is you. You do your best. You work, you live in integrity. You live with integrity. And you love and you give. But you don't overgive. You know, you're you. You are valuable. You're the only you have. So, you know, in thinking, when something comes up that isn't what you want, it's like, okay, I can have that for what it is because it's the thing that's happening, but it doesn't define me. And so I can go back and I can just become neutral to it. If you are neutral, you are 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Period. Period. Neutrality is a healer because it lets you see things for what they are. And I think we just made our circle. So thank you for joining me today. We will continue with repeating patterns and how to release them, get it past them in other areas of life, because they come up in pretty much every area of life in future shows. But for right now, I just want to thank you for being with me today. I hope that you found valuable what I taught. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thank you. Bye-bye.